Good morning. We welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church and hope that if you're visiting with us, you'll let us know by signing the hospitality register so that we can more formally welcome you. We have one announcement that I know of. Melissa?
I'll be quick. Just a reminder, this week the Adult Education Committee is meeting at 5:30 on Wednesday and the Mission Committee at 7 p.m. same day. So we'll see you there.
That was quick. Last week, 31 folks from Gates Presbyterian Church traveled to Columbus, Ohio as members of the 2012 Senior High Mission Work Project team. In Ohio, our host for the week was Worthington Presbyterian Church. This is a very active Presbyterian church that has partnered with a mission organization, Rebuilding Together Ohio, in order to provide housing and mission work for incoming youth groups. At night, we slept a little, we ate a lot, and we played at the church. During the day, we scraped paint, we weeded, and we painted at an organization called Rebuilding Together Ohio. Rebuilding Together Ohio addresses the needs of low-income senior homeowners. But we also worked in downtown Columbus, preparing and serving breakfast to the homeless. Now I want you to have the complete picture on this activity. The group serving breakfast each morning needed to be ready to go at 5:30 a.m. In addition, groups worked in a neighborhood program that offered lunch, crafts, stories, and games to neighborhood children. As you can imagine, our week was full of meaningful experiences, and we are eager to share them with you. However, I would first like to take this opportunity to thank the 9 outstanding advisors that made this trip possible. So please stand as I call your name. Keisha Binko. Tracy Berkovich. Vicki Gutel. Keith Hadley. Mary Hadley. Larry Hasenlop. Nancy Hasenlop. And Brenda Thornton. Can you give them a big hand? And Kay Harder, sorry. I have her name here, I missed it. Thank you. Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Please stand if able for the call to worship. The world belongs to God.
The earth and all its people.
God's vision for creation is shalom. A world where compassion and acceptance reign.
Let us worship the God of peace.
God forgives us over and over again. Thus, let us come together praying the prayer of confession in the bulletin. Loving God, you called us to be one, to live in unity and harmony, and yet we are divided. Race from race, faith from faith, rich from poor, old from young, neighbor from neighbor. O Lord, break down the walls that separate us. Tear down the fences of hatred and indifference. Free us from prejudices and fears. Give us courage to open ourselves to others. By the power of your Spirit, make us one. Hear our silent prayers.
Amen.
This is the good news. We are forgiven people. Because we are forgiven, we have peace to share. Because we are loved, we have love to give.
Thanks be to God.
Do you guys remember when you were asked to be superheroes? Well, now it's our turn to be superheroes.
We have a story for you. We want you to listen to the story carefully, and when we're done with the story, tell us who you think is the superhero in the story.
As a man was going to Jerusalem to Jericho, some robbers attacked him.
Take the mask off.
A man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and some robbers attacked him. They tore off his clothes, beat him, and left him lying there, almost dead. As that was happening, a Jewish priest was walking down the road. When he saw the man, he walked by on the other side.
Next, a man that was a lawyer came, and he went over and looked at the man, and he walked on by the other side of the road.
Then a poor man, traveling down the road, came to where the hurt man was. When he saw the man, he felt very sorry for him. The poor man helped to heal his wounds.
Did you guys remember to listen to the story and figure out who the superhero was? Do you guys want to raise your hand and tell me who the superhero was? I mean, you don't have to, but you can. Okay, well, the superhero in the story was the one that helped to save the man on the side of the road.
There are superheroes in real life, too. Do you guys know who a real-life superhero would be?
God is a superhero, yeah.
Anyone else? Your parents or your friends? People at church?
And everybody can be a superhero, including you guys.
You guys can be superheroes and peace moves makers in your life, too.
Okay, we're going to have a prayer, so can you guys bow your heads and then repeat after us?
Repeat after me. Dear Lord, we ask you to bring peace and love to our world. Help us to be superheroes in our own lives. And for there to be more superheroes and peacemakers in our world. Amen. You may now go back to your families and remember to be the best superheroes you can be.
First reading of the word is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. The Lord has told you, O human, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
The second reading of the word is from the Gospel of Luke. Then an expert on the law stood up to test Jesus, saying, Teacher, what must I do to get life forever? Jesus said, What is written in the law? What do you read there? The man answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Also, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus said to him, Your answer is right. Do this and you will live. But the man, wanting to show the importance of his question, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered, As a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, some robbers attacked him. They tore off his clothes, beat him, and left him lying there, almost dead. It happened that a Jewish priest was going down that road. When he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. Next, a Levite came there, and after he went over and looked at the man, he walked by on the other side of the road. Then a Samaritan, traveling down the road, came to where the hurt man was. When he saw the man, he felt very sorry for him. The Samaritan went to him, poured olive oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the hurt man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he cared for him. The next day, the Samaritan brought out 2 coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, Take care of this man. If you spend more money on him, I will pay it back to you when I come again. Then Jesus said, which one of these three men do you think was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the robbers? The expert on the law answered, the one who showed him mercy.
Last week, our work project theme was a piece of the puzzle. Each night, we added a puzzle piece to a very large wooden puzzle, which is here, and I hope you'll come up and see after worship. And we acknowledge that it is often puzzling to determine how to personally be a piece of God's vision of peace. In evening groups, we explored the meaning of words that contribute to peace: justice, neighborhood, acceptance, compassion, and nonviolence. This morning, we will share our experience through the lens of these five words.
This week, we went to Worthington, Ohio to do mission work. I got assigned the word for the sermon to be justice. Justice, the definition is what's fair and what's just. Many things reminded me of justice this week, and many things didn't. Some of the things that didn't were having to wake up at 5 o'clock to go work. Others were having to scrape off wood, off very text-free wood, and then priming it and painting it on very overlapping shingles that took a long time. But that's not what's important. God called me to do justice this week in many ways. One way was by helping an old woman, Bobby, the owner of the first house. She got justice this week by us painting, scraping, and priming her house. She deserved it. We made her life a lot better. Another example of justice this week was helping homeless people at a soup kitchen, even though we had to get up at 5 o'clock. I felt justice there every time I saw them smile or say God bless to you after you handed them food. It makes you feel very good, and it's very rewarding. The next house we went to was Mrs. Connolly's house. She deserved justice money in ways too. We gave it to her by painting her house. And I got to go on the roof and paint, which was fun. This week, the theme of the week was peacemaking. And one of the ways you can help make peace is by justice. I felt peace in the smiles of those we helped. God calls on us to be peacemakers, and one way we can do this is by advocating for the just treatment of all people.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Faulkner, and this fall I'll be a sophomore at Grace Athena High School. This year, GPC Senior High Work Project to Columbus, Ohio was a wonderful experience and gave me a new perspective to look at on life. We often think of our neighbors as people that live in the street next to ours, or across the street, or even down the road a ways as well. Well, you're right, but there's more. The word neighbor also means fellow human. On the first day of work, we went to the home of Bobby, and we had to repaint her house because it was peeling and it's a code violation down there. Bobby was older and not able to paint the house by herself, and she was in need of help. She cannot do this on her own. Bobby is our neighbor and a fellow human. Then again, we went to another home. The lady who lived there was also not able to paint the house by herself, so we painted her house also. I went to a soup kitchen and served breakfast of ham, hard-boiled eggs, and grits to those who could not afford breakfast. Our neighbors in Ohio, fellow humans. Then another day, we went to a school to hang out, play with kids that were part of a lunch program there. These kids were also our neighbors, in need of our help, and fellow humans. This work project was a life-changing experience for me. I learned that my neighbors aren't just next door or across the street. They are everywhere.
When we were in... When we were in Columbus, we saw many things. When we went to Faith Mission to serve breakfast to the homeless, I saw something that I wasn't expecting. It was acceptance. The people there didn't care about race or the person's background. They all sat, talked, and laughed together as if they had been best friends for their entire lives. Also, all the people that we served were very grateful. They were happy to see a group of smiling teenagers giving them their breakfast. They accepted us and the other people that were eating there. I feel that we all can learn a little about acceptance from these people.
This past week, as you know, I traveled to Columbus, Ohio. Each day we were taught about a word in our small group sessions. The one that stuck with me was compassion. Now, your definition of compassion may be a little different than mine. To me, it means going out of your way to do something nice for someone and not wanting anything in return. You treat people with respect and give up your selfish wants to help their more important needs. This past week, I was blessed by God to be able to experience compassion, both in the sense that it was performed towards me and in the sense that I performed it towards others. Now, compassion is a very hard thing to have, especially when the Lord presents us with daunting tasks. We talked about a story of when the disciples were asked to feed 4,000 people. I don't know about you, but to me, it seems pretty hard to do that, especially when they could just go home, sit at home, nap, do whatever they wanted. But, you know, it took them compassion, and they stayed there and helped Jesus. Believe me, I'm not saying I had to feed 4,000 people, but I did have to be up and out of a church by 5:30, and for a teenager who sleeps till 12, it's pretty close. But in all seriousness, out of the experience I had this week, one stood out to me the most. I had to get up early that day for a reason. After the soup kitchen in the morning, we went to spend time with kids at a school. Some of these kids are locked out of their own homes all day and have to fend for themselves. This school provides a place for them to go and a place to have fun. I feel on this day, God blessed me with a higher capacity for compassion. Instead of just dragging myself through this portion of work, I was able to help these children. Even with all the odds against them and so much turmoil in their lives, they were still able to have fun and just be a kid, even perform compassion towards me. They were so polite and sweet and so much fun to be around. It just made helping them all the more enjoyable. And, you know, some even like football, so that put icing on the cake for me. This week, you know, and this experience at the church, school, really helped me to see how much of an impact performing compassion can be and how much of an impact it has made on others' lives and my own.
Hi, I'm Alex. My word of the week is nonviolence. In the Bible, Jesus says that whenever you are struck on the face, to turn the other cheek, and he promotes nonviolence as the key to peace. These days in the news, we see plenty of disagreements, quarrels, fights, disputes, and wars even. People in Israel and Palestine fight for land, people in gangs and cartels fight for drugs and money, and even people within our Congress fight for power. And what do all these have in common? Greed. The main reason why people can't get along with each other these days is the desire for personal gain of various forms. So we ask ourselves, what can I do to help stop greed and violence? The answer is simple. Compassion. This weekend work project, I was in line at a store on Kings Island ready to purchase a souvenir. When I came to the cash register to check out, I realized I was going to have barely enough money. As I and the store employee counted the money, it became apparent that I was short. I looked at the register girl, she looked at me, and after a few seconds, a woman from the line emerged and laid down a dollar bill. The girl at the register added that, and the total was still short, this time by 5 cents. The woman from the line smiled and laid another dollar on the table and insisted that I keep the change. I thanked the lady for her kindness and left the store, reflecting on how, in a way, I had been the stranded man from Jesus' story, and the woman in the line was a good Samaritan. Ironically, not 15 minutes later, I saw a man and his girlfriend walking down the street, and the man dropped a couple coins on the ground. So he picked up one, and he didn't see the others, so he continued walking. I ran over, picked up his coins, and caught up to him to return them, and he gratefully took them back. Now I had made a complete circle of compassion. I had been the good Samaritan, and I had been the victim. It's amazing that something like a couple cents can make such an impact. If people stopped for a second and asked what they could do for their fellow man instead of what could be done for them, I think the world would be a much better place. Together, if we can sacrifice greed for compassion, we can have peace. Just remember that although everybody's piece of the puzzle may not be the same size, shape, or even color, every piece is just as important to the overall puzzle.
Amen. Melissa?
What a joy it is this morning to celebrate the sacrament of baptism as we hear our young people, many of whom have been baptized and nurtured in the life of this church, to continue that celebration and hear and make those promises again. So at this time, I invite Shannon Fish and Doug Malone to the font with their son, Douglas, and also Dave Fish, who is Shannon's father, also an elder in the life of Gates Presbyterian Church. In his death and resurrection, and by water of the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of this session, I present Douglas, son of Doug and Shannon, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Shannon and Doug, do you desire for Douglas to be baptized? And relying on God's grace, you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child. Let us pray.
Holy God, we give thanks this morning for all the promises in baptism, and we celebrate the promises that these parents in this congregation will make. Hear their promises, their I do's, their affirmations and celebrations of your faith in the life of this community. Amen.
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Douglas by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, please say we do.
Is Jesus Christ your Lord?
calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. Name. We'll make sure we get the right. Douglas.
James Malone III. I baptize
you in the name of the Father. God has now received, is now received into the Holy Catholic Church. See the love that God has given to each of us, and let us celebrate those promises that God makes to us and we to one another. Let us pray. To each one of us, your faithful love, we pray that your child, Douglas, that you watch over him. You guide him as he grows in faith. Give him understanding and a quick concern for neighbors. Be with his parents, Shannon and Doug. Help them. Oh God, as they teach this beautiful child about the love you have given us all. Amen. You are now invited to stand and greet baby Douglas James Malone III and sing from the Green Book. As you remember, when baby Doug was born, he had some troubles, and this community faithfully prayed for him. And look, the joy and wonder of continuing to support this love.
We will now hear the prayers of concern and or joy.
Good morning. Marcia and Sandy Way back from New Hampshire. this is going to be easier. As I sat here, it felt so good having these clinker bricks surrounding us again. We had to come back and thank this congregation for your love, your generosity, your support after our house fire. We have felt you reach out to us, and we have felt your prayers, and God has been so awesomely amazing in the answer to those things, the way things are evolving in our life and the things that have happened. And we know stuff is just stuff, and we are just so thankful for all that has happened. We are rebuilding, and we hope to be back in our house before Thanksgiving, so we'll have a take two on this whole journey to retirement and life in New Hampshire. But we just can't thank you enough for the notes and how generous and how loving you've been for us. And so we just had to come back and see as many of you as we can and just say thank you.
We're so happy to see you.
Jeannie Bauman, have a joy. My husband's daughter, Sandy, had a baby girl on Monday, 7 pounds, 11 ounces, Emily Irene.
Bill DeSaro, last week I asked for prayers for my aunt and uncle who were in a car wreck. My aunt is home and recovering, though still sore all over. My uncle isn't doing nearly as well and was transferred up to the VA hospital in Buffalo. So continued prayers for them would be appreciated. On a much happier note, 9:32 yesterday, my son Brian and his wife Jeanette were blessed with the birth of their little daughter, Abigail Helen. And 7 pounds, 12 ounces, 20 inches long, and killer eyelashes.
Congratulations.
Marge Westfeld, I'd like to ask for prayers for my son, whose home was partially destroyed in the tornado in Elmira recently.
Ginny Smith, I'm asking for prayers for my sister Barb and her family. My brother-in-law passed away this past week after a long, long struggle. Please pray for the whole family. Thank you.
And prayers for the Walker family. Margaret Walker passed away on Sunday just a week ago, and they had a private memorial service for the family. But just prayers for them.
Helen Priestley, I'd like to give thanks to God for a wonderful trip that we had to Montana for a much longed-for visit with our son and just the chance to just experience the glory of God and the beauty of that country.
Valtarushan, on Thursday, JC and I and the family traveled to Washington, D.C. for our son Philippe's wedding, and we're so pleased that Caroline will be officiating the wedding.
As am I.
Thank you, and so we ask for your prayers of joy.
Jeff Tuttle, prayers for my cousin who has been in the hospital the past week. He contracted Lyme disease and it attacked his heart, and he basically his heart stopped, and they put a pacemaker in, an external pacemaker in, and the good news is he's recovering quick. He's young and healthy before this happened, and so he is doing pretty well, and they're actually expecting him to possibly come home today from the hospital. So, but continued prayers for him, as it's been a very rough week. Thank you.
Sue Mancini, I'd like to extend to this congregation what a wonderful youth program we have, from the little bitty kids all the way up to these young people who have done a marvelous job. When I go to Florida, the church down there has two kids that come forward for the children's sermon. I brag about my church all the time with our 75 kids or more that come up for the children's sermon. We are truly blessed with the leaders. It's not just the young people. It's the leaders who bring them along the way. I think they're all wonderful. Thank you.
Allison Tuttle. My great-grandma, she's 101. A week and a half ago or so, she had fallen, and she was in the hospital. She was living on her own in Manhattan, and I think we're going to move her to a nursing home now. So prayers for her and the rest of the family.
Let us pray. God of everlasting peace, we come to you yearning to be your peacemakers. Help us, O God, to trust that you multiply even our smallest acts of compassion, justice, and acceptance. Strengthen us so that we can boldly advocate for the just treatment of your children, all of your children, so that we can confidently resist stereotyping your people, and so we can passionately care for your creation. We pray for the war-torn areas of our world, places where destruction has become part of life, where words have wounded feelings, where hopelessness has replaced joy. We plead that your spirit blow through our lives so that we may become your vehicles of peace. This morning, we give you thanks for the safe return of our mission team, and for the experiences they had while in Columbus. Help these mission participants to find ways to incorporate their teachings into their daily lives. We rejoice that we are a part of a congregation that embraces mission and that respects all the teachings of all generations. Hear us now as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts forward.
Where it all begins. Believing it will achieve. Let us pray. O God, we want to be your disciples, working for peace on earth and justice for all people. Show us ways to use these gifts to serve you as peacemakers. Amen.
Go into the world in peace.
And take peace to the world that needs it, trusting God to lead you.
For the God of peace gives us peace to share with all the world. Amen.